Welcome to the Meb Faber Show, where the focus is on helping you grow and preserve your wealth. Join us as we discuss the craft of investing and uncover new and profitable ideas, all to help you grow wealthier and wiser. Better investing starts here.
Meb Faber is the co-founder and chief investment officer at Cambria Investment Management. All opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Cambria Investment Management or its affiliates. For more information, visit CambriaInvestments.com.
Howdy, podcast listeners. We have a little bit of a different show for you today. Over the past decade, we've made an effort to educate our clients and investors, now over 125,000 strong, by publishing research and commentaries across the blog, academic papers, books, speeches, and now in the more modern world, Twitter, YouTube, and this podcast. However, we still get many great questions every day about our funds, many of which are broadly similar. So we wanted to try and use this platform to help educate shareholders as much as possible. Sometimes the spoken word provides a little more context and narrative than just an academic paper or fact sheet. And as always, the most important thing in investing is finding an approach that works for you, which may or may not involve any of our funds, which is totally fine. We just want our shareholders to be as informed as possible and what they're invested in. So enough intro. Please enjoy today's episode in our series of fund profiles. Today, I'm going to be talking about one of my oldest and favorite approaches to the market, which centers around something called shareholder yield. As part of this discussion, we'll talk about three Cambria funds, which we've engineered with this shareholder yield approach as their centerpiece. There's a lot to discuss, so let's jump right in. So let me start with a question. What's your approach to the markets today? We've just finished one of the worst years ever for traditional portfolios of U.S. stocks and bonds. U.S. stocks ended the year down 18.11%. U.S. 10-year bonds were also down 16.97%, leading to a traditional 60-40 portfolio being down 17.65%. According to Global Financial Data, 2022 ranks as the third worst yearly return for the 60-40 portfolio in the past 100 years. Ouch. Everyone is all too aware of this dreadful year. In fact, we polled our Twitter followers and asked how many had positive performance for their portfolio in 2022, and well over 80% said they were down. So what now? The good news for fixed income investors, the bond yields have screamed higher. As of February 3rd, the 10-year U.S. bond yields 3.56%, up from 1.78% at the start of 2021. So you're looking at some higher income, but the bad news, inflation is still higher than bonds at 6.45% for the last month. Stock valuations have come down, and that's usually what happens when the index goes down. After all, it's the P and the PE, but they're still higher than average. Regular podcast listeners and readers of my blog know that one of my favorite valuation measures is the Shiller PE ratio, also called the CAPE ratio, which stands for the 10-year cyclically adjusted price to earnings ratio. I'll put a link in the show notes, but if we look at the S&P's current CAPE rating at the time of this recording on February 3rd, you'll see it's right around 30, making it one of the higher readings in the past 150 years. Similar periods of overvaluation were during the Depression, the dot-com bubble, at the turn of the millennia. Now, it's not as crazy as 45 at the end of the 1990s or even the recent 40, but still, it's elevated. So put historically high inflation rates together with historically high valuations, and investors face a tough question. How do you find an investment that offers potential income and growth that's not burdened with nosebleed valuation? And let's speak candidly about the potential trade-off in an investor's portfolio. On one hand, if you invest today, you run the risk of another steep drop in the stock market, such as we've seen many times before. But if you stay on the sidelines and the market continues to grind higher, your return is zero. Is there an answer? Yes, we believe there's an answer. One I feel is a good one. Income and growth are still possible, even in this market, though admittedly for some, harder to find. It can help to stop looking at the market as one unified monolith that rises or falls in unison and see it for what it is. Thousands of individual stocks and businesses that offer varying risk-reward profiles. And it's from this more granular perspective that we can begin to look for stocks characterized by traits I believe will align with a powerful market approach, shareholder yield. For those unfamiliar, a shareholder yield strategy is intended to help investors get exposure to quality value stocks that have returned the most cash to shareholders via dividends and buybacks relative to the rest of the comparable stock universe. So let's break this down a bit. Starting with dividend yields, our shareholder yield ETFs, we have three, which I'll discuss in more detail shortly, all reported healthy dividend yields over the past 30 days, even though our funds don't target dividends in isolation. In our show notes, I'll link to our white papers that will compare the dividend yields of our respective shareholder yield ETFs with their benchmarks. But dividend yield is just the beginning. Remember, we've engineered our shareholder yield ETFs to reflect total cash distributions to investors from both dividends and net buybacks. Now, when management rewards investors with buybacks, we wouldn't clearly see that value transfer reflected in the dividend yield. Therefore, while our shareholder yield ETFs have higher dividend yields currently, we shouldn't necessarily expect our funds to be leading this category. But from this added perspective, which includes buybacks, we suddenly have a far more complete way of looking at potential investments. So a few quick words about buybacks for any listeners who are less familiar with the benefit to investors. Without getting into too much detail, corporate share buybacks can be an effective way for managers to return profits to shareholders, similar to dividends, yet without triggering the taxable event that occurs with dividends. That means shareholders are receiving value, but it's subtler, gently camouflaged in the asset's market price rather than the obvious dividend payment that appears in your brokerage account one day. But that doesn't mean the value isn't there. It's just in a different form. And at the end of the day, wouldn't you prefer the highest total return possible, regardless of the source of that return? And for all you Warren Buffett fans may recall his stance on buybacks from his 1984 letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders, which read, "When companies with outstanding businesses and comfortable financial positions find their shares selling far below intrinsic value in the marketplace, no alternative action can benefit shareholders as surely as repurchases." End of quote. The key phrase for buybacks here is intrinsic value. If you're an overconfident CEO buying back overvalued shares, then you're destroying value. In such a case, an objection to including buybacks would be valid. Buybacks would indeed be a detriment to total return. But when a wise CEO buys back shares at great valuations that are below intrinsic value, to paraphrase Buffett's quote, "No alternative action benefits shareholders as surely as repurchases." One other key point about this, did you notice I said net buybacks before? We don't want to include companies that are buying back stock while also diluting their share count for various reasons. So we're sure to look at the end result and remove those companies. Now, when we combine dividend yields with these net buyback yields, we get a clear picture of a total return to shareholders. Again, I'll point you to our white papers on this, which we link to in the show notes so you can read all the details. But now, early in the podcast, we talked about lofty valuations. One of the basic tenets of investing is that all things being equal, the less you pay for an investment, the better your future returns should be. By that logic, the better the value at which we can purchase quality assets, the better position we should be for the potential of increased returns going forward. Due to valuation factors we'll discuss today, we believe SYLD, as well as its sister ETFs in our YLD suite, are poised for strong performance going forward. So how do shareholder yield ETFs shape up on valuation compared to their benchmark categories? Let's answer that by looking at SYLD once again. In our initial white paper that explored our shareholder yield strategy, we compared SYLD to its respective Morningstar category on five valuation metrics: price to earnings, price to book value, price to sales, price to cash flow, and price to free cash flow. We're incredibly proud to report that as the end of December 2022, shareholder yield SYLD offered a lower valuation level than its Morningstar category in every single metric. For price to earnings ratio, SYLD's multiple was 6.19. The category was more than double at 12.41. For price to book, SYLD was 1.69 compared to the category 1.98. For price to sales, SYLD's multiple was 0.51, whereas the category is more than double at 1.08. For price to cash flow, SYLD was 4.97. The category was 9.75. And finally, for price to free cash flow, SYLD's multiple is 8.15 and the category's reading was 26.52. For us, this is a clear illustration of the power of a shareholder yield approach in the markets: larger returns and lower valuations. Bottom line, yes, this is a challenging market for income investors, but it doesn't have to be an impossible market. We feel income, growth, and good values are still out there. You just have to know where to find them. So at this point, you're familiar with one of our three ETFs that feature the shareholder yield approach. That's the Cambria Shareholder Yield ETF with the ticker SYLD, which we've referenced a lot so far. But as mentioned earlier, we have three unique funds offering a shareholder yield approach. The difference between the funds lies in which global markets the fund is focused on. While SYLD focuses exclusively on stocks in the United States, for non-US developed country markets, we offer the Cambria Foreign Shareholder Yield ETF with the symbol FYLD. As of the end of December 2022, FYLD offered a lower valuation level than its Morningstar category again. For price to earnings, the multiple was 5 for FYLD and the category 7.5. For price to book, FYLD was 0.88 compared to the category of 0.91. For price to sales, FYLD was 0.57 while the category is 0.56. For price to cash flow, FYLD multiple is 3.58 whereas the category is 5.5. For price to free cash flow, FYLD is 5.55 and the category 19.99. As for emerging markets around the globe, we offer the Cambria Emerging Shareholder Yield ETF with the ticker symbol EYLD. As of the end of December, EYLD offered a lower valuation level than its Morningstar category, again, in every single metric. For price-to-earnings ratio, the multiple was 5.84, whereas the category was more than double at 12.2. For price-to-book, UILD multiple was 1.07 compared to the category 1.91. Price-to-sales, UILD multiple was 0.6, whereas the category is 1.54. Price-to-cashflow, UILD's multiple was 4.46 versus the category 8.88. And for price-to-free cash flow, UILD's multiple was 11.18 versus the category 15.55. We believe this illustrates how shareholder yield is a powerful market approach for investors, even across borders. Now, shifting gears a bit, for any listeners who are curious about the construction of this type of fund, in short, we begin with a broad universe of stocks of a suitable market capitalization that also pass liquidity and price requirements. Next, we select the stocks in the top 20% of that universe by yields across dividends, net buybacks. We apply some valuation ensemble across a number of factors. Some of the ones we discussed previously, we referenced five of them earlier in this podcast, for example. We further shrink the universe by isolating the top shareholder yield stocks registering higher debt retirement with low financial leverage. Those are both quality metrics. We also seek to avoid value traps by doing a final sort based on momentum indicators. It can be an exhausting process, but we believe it's worth it as the results speak for themselves. As we wrap up, yes, this is a challenging market, but you don't have to sacrifice income or growth or a reasonable valuation. You just have to know where to look to find those traits. We believe you can find them in our suite of shareholder yield ETFs. For more information, you can visit CambriaFunds.com or reach out to us at 310-683-5500. Thanks and good investing.
Podcast listeners will post show notes to today's conversation at mebfaber.com/podcast. If you love the show, if you hate it, shoot us feedback at themebfabershow.com. We love to read the reviews. Please review us on iTunes and subscribe to the show anywhere good podcasts are found. Thanks for listening, friends, and good investing.
See the links in the show notes for two papers referenced earlier. First one, think income and growth don't exist in this market? Think again. Second paper, think income and growth don't exist around the globe? Think again. Disclosure. To determine if this fund is an appropriate investment for you, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risk factors, charges, and expense before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus, which may be obtained by calling 855-383-4636, also known as ETF Info, or by visiting our website at cambriafunds.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing or sending money. The Cambria ETFs are distributed by Alps Distributors, Inc., 1290 Broadway, Suite 1000, Denver, Colorado, 80203, which is not affiliated with Cambria Investment Management LP, the investment advisor for the fund. Shares are bought and sold at market price or closing price, not net asset value, NAV, and are not individually redeemed from the fund. Market price returns are based on the midpoint of the bid-ask spread at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when NAV is normally determined, and do not represent the return you would receive if you traded at any other times. Buying and selling shares will result in brokerage commissions. Brokerage commissions will reduce returns. A few definitions. Cyclically adjusted P.E. ratio, Shiller-Cape ratio. The cyclically adjusted price-to-earnings ratio is the price of a security of an equity index divided by the average inflation-adjusted earnings over the past 10 years. The S&P 500 Index, an index of 500 U.S. stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry grouping, among other factors. The S&P 500 is designed to be a leading indicator of U.S. equities and is not meant to reflect the risk-return characteristics of the large-cap universe. NASDAQ Composite, a broad market index that includes over 3,000 of the equities listed on the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. Shareholder yield, generally defined as an equity security's total yield from the combination of dividend yield and buyback yield. Dividend, a payment from a corporation to a shareholder. Buyback, the process of a corporation buying back shares of its stock. Price-to-earnings ratio, or P.E. ratio, the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's per-share earnings. Price-to-book ratio is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's book value. Price-to-sales ratio is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's revenue. Price-to-cash flow is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's per-share cash flow. Price-to-free cash flow ratio is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's per-share free cash flow. Enterprise value to EBITDA is the ratio of a company's enterprise value, a measure of a company's total value, to the company's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. 30-day SEC yield, a standard yield calculation developed by the SEC that's based on the most recent 30-day period. ETFs are subject to commission costs each time a buy or sell is executed. Depending on the amount of trading activity, the low cost of ETFs may be outweighed by commissions and related trading costs. Diversification may not protect you against market loss. There is no guarantee that the fund will achieve its investment goal. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. The Cambria shareholder yield is actively managed. The Cambria foreign shareholder yield is actively managed. The Cambria emerging shareholder yield is actively managed. On June 1st, 2020, the Cambria shareholder yield and the Cambria foreign shareholder yield changed its investment objective and investment strategy. The fund also changed from being passively managed to actively managed on that date. On June 1st, 2020, the Cambria emerging shareholder yield changed its investment objective and investment strategy. The fund also changed from being passively managed to actively managed on that date. There is no guarantee that the fund will achieve its investment goal. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. High-yielding stocks are often speculative, high-risk investments. The underlying holdings of the fund may be levered, which will expose the holdings to higher volatility and may accelerate the impact of any losses. These companies can be paying out more than they can support and may reduce their dividends or stop paying dividends at any time, which could have a material adverse effect on the stock price of these companies and the fund performance. International investing may involve risk of capital from unfavorable fluctuations in currency values, from differences in generally accepted accounting principles, or from the economic or political instability in other nations. Emerging markets involve heightened risk related to the same factors, as well as increased volatility and lower trading volume. Investing in small companies typically exhibit higher volatility. Narrowly focused funds typically exhibit higher volatility. 2020 Morningstar, all rights reserved. The information contained herein, one, is proprietary to Morningstar and or its content providers, two, may not be copied or distributed, and three, is not warranted to be accurate, timely, or complete. Neither Morningstar nor its content providers are responsible for any damages or losses arising from any use of this information. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.